Welcome to the first part of a short series, three of them. Afghanistan, its conflict with former human powers. Tell me, your reaction to August 2021. It was the withdrawal of the USA and their allies from Afghanistan. Did you see it? The media will tell the story if you haven't heard this. I think this is important to know. This is the world in which we live. Besides putting the United States of America, by the way, the greatest, the wealthiest, and most powerful nation in bold letters, what other most powerful voice was heard? Besides America, there was another powerful voice that was heard. And this struck me when I did research on Afghanistan. Well, the media will tell the story. Listen what they say. Millions upon millions of people watched on the social media the sudden, unexpected takeover of Afghanistan by the Taliban in August 2021. It was so sudden. Have you noticed that things are happening at a tremendous speed lately? In an amazing short space of time, I watched this on television. They entered the presidential palace and the first part of the job was done. Afghans gather on the roadside near the military part of the airport at Kabul. August 20, 2021, hoping to flee from the country after the Taliban take over of Afghanistan. And you know, I feel so sorry for these people when I look at them. Uncertain. Several hundred US embassy employees evacuated from Afghanistan. This was a miracle. These are only a few pictures featuring the United States of America. My friend, this is a powerful nation. When they get an ordinary cough, we get pneumonia. A mighty power. And did you know that prophecy prophesied against them? Speaking about the chaotic US withdrawal from Afghanistan over the past couple of weeks, and now it comes to that other mighty voice. The Pope said all eventualities were not taken into account. They are reprimanding the nations. When the Western allies left, this was published in the New York Times. I suppose you are aware of his almost unlimited power, like the United States of America. You've got the ecclesiastical power here, and you've got the military and wealthiest power here, speaking on the Afghanistan confusion. The independent newspaper wrote, Pope Francis criticizes imposition of democracy. Now, these are just a few reports of many concerning the concern of Pope Francis on the US-Afghanistan issue. When he speaks, by the way, the world takes notice. Watch it. In this lecture, we are going to ask the science of archaeology to tell us more about the early existence of the Afghanistan people, and by what name it was called. And in this series, I'm going to take you to another two superpowers, the Medes, and then the Medo-Persian Empire, and then the Empire of Alexander the Great. It is fascinating. I'm so excited about the facts that I discovered. My name is Francois, my daughter's name is Loretta. Here we stood at Persepolis. What an experience it was to come here. what on earth are we doing here? Research. And I'm bringing you back here because Afghanistan is featuring at this historical site. We are searching for the origins of Afghanistan. Look at the following map to see its location. There you got it. I was standing in Iran, I and my daughter, close to Afghanistan. Couldn't enter there. But there you see Afghanistan, Pakistan just below. And we are going to focus on Afghanistan. Stan means place. The closest I came to Afghanistan was my visit here at Iran. Would Iran be able to reveal some of the secrets of Afghanistan? Man, I'm going to show you some fascinating footage. Yes, Iran is going to reveal some of the secrets. I'm very excited to share some of the discoveries at Persepolis with you a little later. I'll come back. But let's go back to Afghanistan and the Taliban for a moment. Who is the Taliban? Where is the origin of Afghanistan people? Let me tell you how my research on the history of these people helped me to resonate to a certain extent. There's so much research you can do. I'm just giving you a little. You know, I tried to learn precious lessons from my new research on the Taliban, Afghanistan. I checked the number of recorded wars during the past few centuries. Now, this is a very long and shocking list. I've never read about a country which had so many wars. But what struck me the most is the number of defeats compared to the number of victories. Are you sick and tired of war? War with people, war with yourself. Will war eventually be deleted from the computers of the cosmos? I did some introspection while I studied this list and tried to remember how many times I lost the battle over my negative emotions. You know, we get upset so quickly and we speak a little harder than usual. I fought some hard battles to forgive the Homo sapiens. I lost so many battles against my selfish nature and my false pride, sense of pride. A few I hardly won. I'm ashamed. I can resonate with Afghanistan's history. Many battles lost. A few battles won. You know, if it wasn't, my dear friend, for a loving, forgiving, understanding, sympathetic God, I would have given up long ago on myself. I'm so disappointed in myself at times. Afghanistan, meaning land of the Afghans, or Afghan land, has been a strategically important location throughout history. This was a tremendous discovery I made. The land served as a gateway to India, impinging, coming close, onto the ancient Silk Road, which carried trade from the Mediterranean to China. Sitting on many trade and migration routes, Afghanistan may be called the Central Asian roundabout, since routes converge from the Middle East, from the Indus Valley, through the passes over the Hindu Kush. Let me show you a picture of this place. There you see it's a light green line running through Afghanistan. This is the ancient Silk Road. Man, they did good business. They were a wealthy, wealthy, wealthy nation. Oh, I was impressed with this. An 800-kilometer-long mountain range that stretched through Afghanistan, the more we know of the place or a person, the more one discovers the beauty of the place in person. The history of Afghanistan as a state began in 1880 with its establishment following the end of the Second Anglo-Afghan War. So, there you've got a date. But before this time, its ancient names were Gandhara. Gandhara was part of Afghanistan, and Bactria. What about their theology? You know, the urge to worship is part of the human spirit. We want to worship. We were created to worship. And you have a choice to the object that you worship. Now, Loretta is just pretending reading Sumerian. This is in the Louvre. The two greatest words in Sumerian is Ki and Aga. Ki means planet Earth. Aga means distance. Putting together these two, it means I love you. I haven't seen you, but I've got respect for you and I love you for listening to this lecture. So what are these words telling us? You know, Einstein says, the greatest power in the cosmos is the power of love. With love you can accomplish much more than with war. In the same section of the Louvre in Paris, I came across some of the ancient deities of the Afghanistan people. I was impressed. Here you see the lady. The sculpture of this goddess of Afghanistan is incomplete. But the curators of the Louvre in Paris displayed a male deity next to her. So it's not a woman-dominated culture. We men also had a small part here. So there's the male deity. You have a choice as to which one to worship. This male deity has only one eye. There is a saying in my culture that in the land of the blind, the man with one eye is the king. So he was, to a certain extent, a king. The sculpture has been completed. She is called Margiana. To think that she comes from Afghanistan. We've only seen war and misery there, but long ago, this beautiful deity was part of Afghanistan. The Bactria Margiana, they used the name of this goddess, archaeological complex, and here you see it in red, between 2200 and 1700 BCE, the city of Balkh, Bactra, was also founded about this time. The archaeological site of Bactra, modern Afghanistan, you're looking at it, invites you to come and excavate its history. So if you're interested in archaeology, the spade brings it along and see if you can discover some marvelous artifacts. Let me tell you more about their earlier beliefs. I'm not going to show you what I discovered there, but it's very interesting. Zoroastrianism is believed by some to have originated in what is now Afghanistan between 1800 to 800 BCE. Zoroaster is believed to have lived and died here in Balkh. Ancient Eastern Iranian may also have been spoken here around the time of the rise of Zoroastrianism. And here you look at the building in Balkh. Here at Ur, these two gentlemen are discussing the fact that all three monotheistic religions, Islam, and here you can include Afghanistan, Christianity and Judaism, have their origin in Abram, who became the first monotheist in Sumer at Ur of the Chaldees. Afghan nomads in Bach. Is Bach. It's, I cannot pronounce it as the Afghans do. Afghans, the province. Early peasants farming villages came into existence in Afghanistan about 4,000 years ago. Now, what were their modes of travel? How did the people of Afghanistan move around? Today in a 4x4, but not in early times. Not this kind of 4x4. Let me show you their mode of transport. There you've got it. The domesticated Bactrian camels have served as pack animals in Afghanistan since ancient times. With its tolerance for cold, for drought, and high altitudes, it enabled the travel of caravans on the Silk Road. So with this vehicle, ancient Afghanistans could have traveled just where they wanted to. In winter or summer, this vehicle took them there without moaning. The shaggy winter coat that you see here is shed extremely rapidly when the summer comes, with huge sections peeling off at once, appearing as if sloppily shorn. And I think if she was a female, she felt so proud, I think, getting rid of this big coat of hers. The two humps on the back are composed not of water, but of fat. The two broad toes on each foot have undivided soles and can spread widely as an adaptation to walking on sand. So the Afghans could move in ancient times very fast over the desert. The feet are very tough, as befits an animal of extreme environments. Temperatures are extremely ranging from as low as minus 40 degrees Celsius in winter to plus 40 degrees Celsius in summer. Question. Maybe you know it. Who were the first to occupy and rule over Afghanistan? Right now it's the Talibans, but we want to search out who was the first. Man, I made some interesting discoveries. One of the earliest nations to rule over Bactria, that's ancient Afghanistan, was the Median Kingdom. According to Ernst Herzfeld, it was a powerful empire, and we're going to find out about them just now, which stretched from central Anatolia to Bactria, to around the borders of nowadays India. The region of nowadays Afghanistan came under Median rule for a short time. So here was the first superpower to conquer Afghanistan. Now, do we have any archaeological proof for the existence of the Median Empire's existence? And this is a very interesting lecture, and you can find this on YouTube if you want to look at my research on the Median Empire. Here you are. Come with me to the Iranian city of Hamadan. This is the city of Hamadan. There you can see the cars. Here one can visit the ruins of the ancient capital of the Medes. So, they were Medes who ruled over Afghanistan. Here's the ancient capital. And they cannot do much excavations here because it's in the middle of the city, Ekbatana. It's called Ekbatana. I will first look at the history of the Medes and the Babylonians. They became partners at one time before coming back to the Afghans' history. I love people. Some are very kind, by the way. This is the posterity of the Medes at Ekbatana. And the lady at the right, second from right, is my daughter. This is how you dress when you go to Iran. They, these people, long ago were the Babylonians suffered terribly under the cruel persecution of the Syrians. And they were very cruel. If you look at the footage of how they treated people. Whew. Eventually the two nations combined, the Babylonians and the Medes, combined their military power and fought the Assyrians. Here I'm sitting at Nineveh and reading some cuneiform script. The armies of Nabopolassar and Sennacherib, the first, there were two. His grandson was also called Sennacherib, who eventually became as dry as the mead. Destroyed Nineveh in 612 BC. And this is a tremendous history. Eventually the Medes became more powerful than the Babylonians with the help of the Persians, who were at that time still an upcoming nation. Babylon was captured. I found the following account of the fall of Babylon very interesting. So let me just repeat. The two great powers, the Medes and the Babylonians, destroyed the Assyrian Empire. But the friendship between the Medes and the Babylonians broke up. Eventually, they joined up with the Persians. Let's continue. Toward the close of Daniel's life, great changes were taking place in the land to which, over 60 years before, he and his Hebrew companions had been carried captive. Nebuchadnezzar, Nabucodonosor, the terrible of the nations, as another prophet calls him from Nippur, had died, and Babylon, the praise of the whole earth, had passed under the unwise rule of his successors, and gradually but sure disillusion was resulting. So the Medes were there, the Persians were there, just a little weaker, and then Babylon, the great enemy, was about to be conquered. This is an interesting history. And I've been to Babylon quite a few times. I took this picture. Saddam Hussein restored some of the ruins. Through the folly and weakness of Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. By the way, his mother was a daughter of the Median king, Sennacherib. Proud Babylon was soon to fall. Admitted in his youth to a share of kingly authority, Belshazzar, his posterity, grandson, gloried in his power and lifted his heart against the God of heaven. He made a mess as an administrator of Babylon. He had known of his grandfather's banishment. Nebuchadnezzar became a monotheist at the end of his life. He, this is Belshazzar, he had known of his grandfather's banishment by the decree of God from the society of men. And he was familiar with Nebuchadnezzar's conversion and miraculous restoration. Oh, my friend, if you could read the book of Daniel, this is a tremendously interesting book. The names of King Belshazzar and his father Nabonidus appear on this clay cylinder, which was discovered Ur of the Chaldees. This was a tremendous discovery, telling us who was the father of Belshazzar, the last king of the Babylonian Empire. It was not long before reverses came. Babylon was besieged, listen to this, by Cyrus. And now we get a relationship between Cyrus and Darius. Babylon was besieged by Cyrus, nephew of Darius the Mede, and commanding general of the combined armies of the Medes and Persians. Here you've got the Medes and the Persians, the combined army. And Darius was the general of Darius the Mede. By the way, his previous name was Sennacherib II. But within the seemingly impregnable fortress, these walls, two of them, consisted of 25 meters. But within the seemingly impregnable fortress, with its massive walls and its gates of brass, protected by River Euphrates, and stocked with provisions in abundance, the voluptuous monarch felt safe and passed his time in mirth and revelry. Very good recipe to ruin your kingdom. Turning to the heaven-sent message on the wall, the prophet read, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." The hand that had traced the characters was no longer visible, but these four words were still gleaming forth with terrible distinctness. And now, with bated breath, the people listened while the aged prophet Daniel declared, "This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom," he is addressing Belshazzar, "and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." Remember, the Medes were the first superpower to control Afghanistan. But now they've got a partner, the Persians. Now it's becoming very interesting. Because of the strange perversity of the human heart, God had at last found it necessary to pass the irrevocable sentence. Belshazzar was to fall, and his kingdom was to pass into other hands. More than a century before, inspiration had foretold that the night of pleasure, this is from the book of Jeremiah and Isaiah. More than a century before, inspiration had foretold that the night of pleasure, during which king and counselors would vie with one another in blasphemy against God, would suddenly be changed into a season of fear and destruction. And now, in rapid succession, momentous events followed one another exactly as had been portrayed in prophetic scriptures. Years before, the principles in the drama had been born. Long before they existed, the prophetic eye saw what was going to happen. While still in the festal hall, surrounded by those whose doom had been sealed, the king is informed by a messenger that his city is taken on all sides, and the men of war are terrified. Jeremiah 51. This is the prophecy against the fall of Babylon. The Medes and the Persians, having turned the Euphrates River, and there you can see a picture of it, out of its channel, and were marching into the heart of the unguarded city. Here you see them walking on the riverbed, moving into the city. The army of Cyrus now stood under the walls of the palace. The city was filled with soldiers of the enemy, as with caterpillars, and their triumphant shouts could be heard above the despairing cries of the astonished revelers. And then, in that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and an alien monarch sat upon the throne. This is from the book Prophets and Kings, page 514. Who was this monarch? Who was this monarch? Do you have an idea? It was Darius the Mede. You're looking at the tomb of the famous Cyrus the Great. There's my daughter again in an Iranian dress. Second one to the right. In our next lecture, we will be looking at the relationship of Bactria, ancient Afghanistan. And I can promise you, this is going to be very, very interesting. Just a little epilogue. I took this picture at Pasar Gadeh. This is in Iran. This was the palace of Cyrus the Great. Inscription of Cyrus at his ruined palace in Pasargada in Iran. His name was mentioned almost 2 centuries before his birth. This is an amazing prophecy written by Isaiah. Let's get a bit closer to read the inscription on top of the column. And I want you to notice something. It's written in 3 ancient cuneiform languages, where he says, I'm Cyrus the king, and Achaemenid. So this is written in the top one, Old Persian, and this was a miracle, deciphering ancient cuneiform. By the way, this was also prophesied. And then the second one, Elamite. Have you read about Esther and King Ahasuerus or Xerxes? This is the language of the Elamites. Right at the bottom, Akkadian, that's the Babylonian cuneiform script. Mer. Important Persian word which means love, affection, and son. Man, you've got 3 wonderful words here. Love, affection, and son. How did he treat the Afghanistans? We're going to look at that in our next lecture. Ma means moon, or month in Persian Farsi language. Moon or month. This was a wonderful gem I bought in Iran. Now, during my visit to Iran, I bought a few little things, but this was the most prized one. Land of Mer and Ma. What could these words mean? Love, affection, and sun. And Ma means moon or month. Now you learn a few Iranian words. Cyrus respected all beliefs while keeping his own firmly. He did not interfere with the religion of the Afghanistan people. He reigned over hearts beside territories. I like this. Are you reigning over hearts instead of territories? That is why the Persians bestowed on him the title of Patriarch. Sarcophagus of Alexander the Great. The Greeks called him Lord and Legislator. The Jews entitled him Messiah, Messiah of God. And the Muslims gave him the title of Zulqarnain, possessor of 2 centuries. Are we going to look how he related to the Afghanistan people? I discovered so many wonderful facts about Afghanistan and the ancient superpowers. A righteous servant of God and the possessor of the first empire with a freedom charter. He was also the first king who struggled for the peaceful coexistence of diverse nations. He was the much-loved king who preserved in his heart the love for a single spouse, the harem in his time. I like that. Let's read it again. He was the much loved king who preserved in his heart the love for a single spouse till he passed away. You know, it's wonderful if you could stay with your spouse a lifetime. It's hard work, but it's worth it. The unique king whose human rights decree by Persia's name, eternal. Next time, how did Cyrus and his posterity treat the Bactrians, the former Afghanistans? My friend, I don't know you, but if I'm not wrong, you've been in battles as well, like poor Afghanistan is now. You've got disappointments, you've got struggles, you've got pain. I just want to to pray for you. Father in heaven, we're on this planet with its wars, its pain, its rejection. Please be with us as we study these ancient civilizations, and may we find comfort in the one who rules this planet, God. We pray this in the name of his Son, Jesus. Amen.